You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It's the perfect intro for a guy who I do know on occasion does like a beer. He is the play-by-play man for the San Antonio Spurs, but what people will remember here in Houston, he was also the voice of the Houston Hotshots in the Continental Indoor Soccer League and even goes back to the Tulsa Roughnecks in the NASL. He's the one and only Bill Land. Bill, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Glenn, I'm already blown away because one of the goals I've always had in all my years of broadcasting was to get paid to do a beer commercial, and that's how you introduced me. You've already surpassed me in another area. I am so jealous.
Well, you know, I was a fortunate man as a young, very green guy breaking into television in 1994 to be partnered with Bill Land. I knew absolutely nothing. But what I did know was that working with you was very, very easy. I think you're one of the smoothest in the business, and I also know you like a good Bud Light every once in a while.
It's very kind of you. We had a lot of fun, Glenn, and I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of broadcasters and a lot of analysts and guys who've been players or coaches and been starting off like you were so many years ago. But I have very few that have come to the table with the passion that you have for the sport and the expertise and your ability to explain it and not dumb it down or talk over anybody's head either. You've done a fantastic job. It's been great to watch your career grow. And I miss those times. We had a blast. It didn't matter if we were doing indoor soccer, college soccer, whatever it was. We had a great time promoting the sport, hopefully, and just having a good time around the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Bill. We did. And by the way, a case of Bud Light is on the way to you in San Antonio. So let's just talk about some of those moments because, you know, here we were. Let's start with indoor soccer and the Houston Hotshots. That was a lot of fun over there, and it's not an easy game to call, is it?
No, and it's still one of the sports that – When people say, well, indoor soccer, you know, people that are non-soccer fans, I'm just going, did you ever go? Did you ever take in a little bit of it? I said, instead of trying to evaluate, oh, this isn't as great as the game, for what it's worth, the skill that was involved, the athletes that were playing, it was the enthusiasm in the arenas that we went to. Some it was fantastic, some it wasn't so good, but It was a lot of fun. I've always appreciated the effort that the athletes gave because so many guys at that time, the indoor game was just a little bit of a supplement to their income. But what they really wanted to do, of course, was play the outdoor game at the highest level. But I thought that the players showed the respect for the sport, that even though particularly some of the international players would look like, what is this? I thought they gave it their best effort, which helped elevate the sport. And those days with the Hotshots, we had an absolute blast, and I think the fans thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's Bill Land, the play-by-play man for the San Antonio Spurs. We'll get to that in a minute. Bill, do you remember, I'm going to take you back, do you remember the time Detroit was in town, and I think our great friend Murphy Brown, who's still doing so much in television, another great guy, by the way, in helping a young guy like me in the career. Do you remember the time we brought, I think it was Hill Thornton from Austin, was either a producer or director. He brought his Harley, and we brought it into the Summit to do a little piece with the bald-headed attacking player for the Detroit team named Drago. And you take it from there, because we got a little harassed from the security at the Summit at the time, and you kind of stepped in there.
I don't remember having any problem there.
Oh.
Drago was fantastic. Hill Thornton had his Harley Davidson or whatever, and forgive me if Hill's listening, that we don't know exactly what he was riding those days, but
yeah.
We thought it'd just spice things up a little bit. Some people didn't apparently agree with us, huh?
Well, here's exactly what you said to the security guy. You said, gosh, can't anybody have some fun around here? I remember it distinctively, as I also...
And you took all the expletives out.
Oh, yeah.
How radio of you.
I did. Well, you can say it. They'll just bleep it out here. I've made a few mistakes in my day on the radio, for sure. The other great thing you told me once, I remember the very first game I ever did, And I remember being exhausted after the game, a mental exhaustion, a very difficult exhaustion and different exhaustion as opposed to being a soccer player, because I was fairly fresh off a playing career. Not that fresh, but fairly fresh. And I said, man, Bill, I'm tired. You didn't even look at me, and you just kind of said, it beats working. That's all you said. And you looked straight ahead, and I never forgot that, because to this day I remember that, and I say, wow, how good the fortune has been for me to be involved in soccer and on TV and radio.
It's there's so many people have forgotten that, and I'm sure you've worked with many, whether it's in our business of television or radio, or guys that are involved directly in the sport, whether it's a player, a coach, or a front office people, to realize that there's so many people that are unhappy at their work. And the fact that they're going to pay us to go work, if you want to call it work, these games, and sure, there's effort and time put in to do your homework, to hopefully put on a telecast or a broadcast that shares them some of the information and the story and the background that makes it entertaining for people. But it's some people have gotten into this business and forgotten that that we really are stealing for a living. And it's something that I can remember. My first job was back at a small TV station, La Crosse, Wisconsin, doing the 6 and 10 sports and making less than a school teacher, which I always thought if you had a full degree, that was a shame, because nobody gets paid less than our people in education, unfortunately. That's a subject for another day. But at any rate, I was having the time of my life, working probably 70 hours a week, and my dad came up and watched, and I wasn't very good on the air, and he looked at me afterwards, but he'd seen what I'd done all day, and he said, well, you think you can make a living doing this? And I looked at him, I said, well, what, am I that bad? And he goes, no, I thought you were fine. But he goes, you are making peanuts. And he goes, and you're gone all day. I said, Dad, they're paying me to go watch sports. I said, this is the best deal ever, and I'm going to milk it for as long as I can. And that was 1974. So far, so good, Glenn.
Yeah, you've had an amazing career. I appreciate even more now, after transitioning into the play-by-play position, how smooth you are as a broadcaster. I mean, you could jump into any role, any sport. I appreciated it then, but I think I appreciate it more now, having done some play-by-play work. Are you surprised or fascinated or thrilled with Major League Soccer's come? Because, I mean, look, back in those days, the infrastructure has been built now. It's pretty amazing how Major League Soccer has grown in America.
It really has, and I think you're the one that said it to me years ago. When the World Cup was here in the United States, wasn't a lot of the money from that to go to help fund MLS? Am I right?
Well, 94 World Cup was contingent upon a pro league being started here in 96, and that's when MLS started, and then you and I did the Dallas Burn up in the Cotton Bowl for a number of years.
And I remember what you saying, though, is that I thought that one of the mistakes the league made right from the beginning was they should have established soccer-specific stadiums that we have in so many cities now, that because the atmosphere and the conditions around the sport are, particularly if you're going to grow the sport in a country where you're battling Major League Baseball and hockey and NFL and the NBA, that you've got to have that. And to play it in some of those cavernous stadiums like the Cotton Bowl and this and that just didn't do it justice, because to me, and I don't follow the sport as closely now because I'm not involved in it, but when I watch a game, we went to a game a year or two ago when the Spurs were up in Portland, and it was Portland-Seattle. It was phenomenal atmosphere, and I was just thinking, this wouldn't be half this if it was in a 70,000-seat stadium, even if there were 10,000 more people there. And I think that it's a credit to MLS that they were able to overcome that mistake that they made. I think Columbus was the first one that got it going. But to see it now and where it's thriving, and even Glenn here, and you're well aware here in San Antonio now, the Spurs organization, which owns other franchises and other sports besides the NBA team, is now behind the USL team that is going to start play here, and with certainly the goal being to get an MLS franchise, and I think that's going to happen here, which is fantastic, because San Antonio is a great soccer city. But that is just kind of dovetails into all of the growth we've seen in MLS. That it's great to see it from the ground level to where it's grown to now.
No, no doubt about it. And the San Antonio Scorpions of the NASL did a great job kind of branding their team and building that stadium out there. I mean, if you look at San Antonio as a place for Major League Soccer, and obviously the Spurs' involvement is a big piece to this, like you said, I got to think San Antonio would be a wonderful market. You got the natural rivalry with the Dynamo down I-10. You got Dallas. It just kind of, in a way, geographically would piece a few teams closer together.
Yeah, and I guess you would know better than I, but I don't think they have any long-term plans as far as the MLS being interested in playing in the Alamo Dome. But if I understand it right, the Toyota Stadium that they've got now is a cozy little place that holds about 8,000. Can easily, everything's easy with money, right? But can be expanded to where it can be in the ranking with what is currently suited for stadiums in the MLS. And I don't think there's any doubt that the support is here in South Texas that, and with Houston and Dallas and all of that, and the way Austin has grown, it's pretty much one string of highway of communities between Austin and San Antonio anymore. I think it'd be a great success if they can get it done here.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. That stadium was built in a way that they can add on to it to make it MLS ready and adhere to the MLS criteria for stadiums. Before I let you go, I'm so interested because the Spurs is such a cool organization, and obviously it's a winning one. And, you know, Tim Duncan, I know through my brother living in the Caribbean, was a swimmer in St. Croix. But just talk about, you know, working with Pop and this organization. And this is kind of would you call this kind of a throwback team to the old days a little bit?
Well, I think what they've done is they have developed, and it's a cliche word, but they have developed a culture and a program here that is a role model for not just any sports organization, but about any business or operation. And what I really enjoy is when we're on the road and Pop visits with various media people, time to time questions will come up about the success, and he'll talk about, hey, if we don't get Tim Duncan, I'm still coaching out at Cal Pomona right now. But what he talks about is how it's so important that you have the right synergy between ownership, management, all the way down to coaching and the players. And that's what they have had here and they continue to have here, that they're all on the same page. The owners do their job. The management does theirs. The players do theirs. And when he says, and I agree with him, that if you don't have that, he said, you may win here or there, but there's no way to establish long-term success if you don't have that synergy between all of those people within your organization. And it's a simple plan, but it's a very difficult one to execute. And they've just done a phenomenal job of that here. And then when you bring in, from the player standpoint, a David Robinson and a Tim Duncan as your superstars, and they're also better people off the court than they are as athletes, everybody else falls in line. And when you treat them the same, I mean, Tim Duncan is just as liable to get chewed out from Pop for missing a defensive assignment as a rookie Jonathan Simmons. And when players realize that the people that come in from the outside to join the organization or the team, they have an immediate respect for what they're joining. And as a result, even if it's a guy who may have been a little bit marginal as far as a player and his ego or where he might have fit at a previous place, he fits here because the guys at the top set such an example, and they just all fall right in order. It's really fun and amazing to watch.
Well, Bill, listen, there's so much more we can talk about, and I do want to bring you on the program again because, you know, it's incredibly interesting to talk about not only soccer with you and your experiences, but also everything that's going on with the Spurs and the NBA. As always, I thank you, and I want to give you right now publicly a heartfelt thank you for helping me in my career in the early stages, and I mean that sincerely.
Hey, I appreciate that, Glenn, but you've done all the work to rise to the level that you're at, and when a lot of people told you were crazy, that you think you can make a living full-time in soccer, period, outside of just a coach or a player, you've proven a lot of people wrong, and it's been great for me to watch your success, and The next time you want to run off your audience and then you and I can have this mutual slobber association,
yeah,
just give me a call. We'll do it. It'd be great.
Yeah. Shameless slobbering over each other after we've called sometimes people in the media jock sniffers. You got to love it.
Aren't we wonderful?
Oh, we're just beautiful people. Bill, thank you as always. You are a great man, and thank you very much for coming on the program.
Great to visit you. Take care.
All right. That's Bill Land, play-by-play man for the San Antonio Spurs, and was a heck of an announcer when it came to soccer as well, Tulsa Roughnecks, and I was fortunate to do the Continental Indoor Soccer League and college games with Bill. We'll take a quick break. More to come. Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. And boy, this was emotional when Brad Davis is moving on to Sporting Kansas City. Boy, it elicited a ton of reaction from fans. Obviously, Brad, a legend here in Houston, has been a part of the MLS Cup winning teams as well as a captain of the team. Incredible history as an all-star and then ultimately going to the World Cup with the United States. And he joins us now. Brad, thank you very much for coming on the show. I know these are kind of different times right now for you, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's been an exciting yet tough few days here. Obviously, with the recent news of me going to be moving on, it's been a little definitely bittersweet. There's been moments where I'm not quite sure what to think about it, and moments where you're excited. I have such a history here, and since the news broke, just the amount of support that I've gotten, you know, the letters and social media remarks and emails and text messages and all that stuff, where you just don't really grasp the effect that you've had on so many people. And how appreciative everybody was for my time in Houston, and like I said, how supportive that most everybody was pretty overwhelming and pretty humbling. It's definitely been something that's been tough to swallow over the past few days as far as Houston goes, but also I'm at a point now where it was just I think it was time for a change. I wanted a new challenge. I've been here, obviously, for the past 10 years, and it's been an amazing run. It's been more than honestly I could ever ask for. It's not very often that a player gets to stay with a club for 10 years, and you get the support that you do that from the organization itself, from you, our other media outlets, and you know, obviously, especially from the fans. It's not something that happens every single day. Not opportunities, or the opportunity doesn't come up very often at all. So it's been a very special time for me, a special ride for me and for my family personally. But on the other hand, like I said, it was an opportunity to get back home, a change of scenery, and something that I felt in my heart that was the right decision to make at this time.
Brad, for the fans that have asked me repeatedly, was this initiated by you? Was it by the organization? Mutual agreement? How did that all work?
Honestly, Glenn, it was a mutual thing. It was something that had come up, and when I found out it had come up, it was something that I had thought about, and obviously said, you know, I want to go ahead and you know, look into this if I can. I don't know if I'm going to have another opportunity to do this. I've always said, even from the beginning of me playing in MLS, that it would be great to be able to get back home and play in front of friends and family. But I would also be lying if I didn't say that this wouldn't be happening if I wasn't going to an organization that I thought was a first-class organization as well, and with an organization that I know is competing every year for championships and for open cups, and this year the Champions League and these things. It's a great opportunity to go into a club and have some success, hopefully bring my experience to that club and push some guys and have a great, you know, few years, whatever it may be, in Kansas City. So it was all around, I think it was you know, good for everybody. There was great dialogue, as I said, between the staff and myself. I think it's good for Houston personally. I'm an honest guy. I think it was good. They're going in a direction where it's been a pretty big turnover. A lot of new faces, a lot of new young guys coming in, and with salary cap restrictions and things like that. I think it was a good move for them to be able to go out and do some different things. So. All around, if you look at it, I think it's a transaction that benefits both sides, and I couldn't be more thankful to our staff and Chris Canetti for really being able to make this happen. Chris has a pedigree of being able to try and get guys that have served the club and served the club with everything that they've had to places where they've asked, obviously, especially home. So it really was something that was very open and out there throughout the whole process.
He's Brad Davis. And by the way, if you have not read the heartfelt letter that Brad wrote, it is up on HoustonDynamo.com. You got to read it because it was a beautifully written letter, certainly very passionate, very heartfelt, Brad. And the other thing, and I'm going to just personally say this, your efforts off the field with Wounded Warrior and, you know, concern and care about other people and making sure that you were involved with that, I don't know how you put a valuation on that, but the compassion behind that, along with the playing career, I think is also what really touched a lot of people.
Well, those are things that go bigger than the game in my mind. You know, the people, and that letter was 100% me. It was everything that I felt. I actually told the guys, I was like, I can keep going if you want me to. I had to confine it down to a page. There were so many memories and thoughts going through my head that I just wanted to be able to get out that I couldn't at the moment. And those things, the off the field things, are things that I felt kept me grounded, kept me real. Didn't let me get too down in down times, you know. But then, you know, I wasn't too high and in high times. It was something that helped me stay grounded, made me remember where I come from, made me remember who I am. I'm just another ordinary person with a platform to be able to help others in certain situations, and I wasn't going to let that opportunity pass me by. The things that we did, like you said, with the vets, going to TCH, I know you're extremely passionate about that, going to the children's hospitals and things like that, but it's real. With real in life, I have children of my own, and I would appreciate if somebody took the time and care if we were in a spot that we needed some help. I would hope that would be reciprocated. And I also think the Dynamo is an organization that should be proud of themselves and is proud of themselves for getting players that really go out into the community and really do make a difference. As I said in that letter, they were ones that helped me become, you know, a community leader. They helped me get out into the community. They asked me if I wanted to be involved in things and helped with my charitable efforts and really pushed them and helped me get them off the ground. I mean, they truly did make me who they have a huge part in who I am today. So I couldn't be more thankful to them.
Well, there are a lot of people that do charity work, but sometimes it's just lending a name. And I know how you were directly involved with it on a daily and a weekly basis. So I'm sure a lot of people are incredibly thankful for you. And, Brad, it's been a pleasure watching you lead this team here in Houston all these years and produce such quality soccer as well. From me personally, thank you very much for everything you did for Houston, both on and off the field. And you're always going to be a welcome guest on this show, so I'm looking forward to having you on again. I think it will be an interesting discussion when, and it'll be hard to say that you're on Sporting Kansas City, but I think we'll be ready for that in the future, okay?
Sounds good. And for me personally, Glenn, I want to say thank you to you as well, your passion and everything you bring to the game here in Houston to really push it forward and drive it over the years has been pretty neat to see. You've always been good to me and my family. You've been fair. And, you know, thank you very much for everything that you've done in the soccer world, not just in Houston, all around, but especially in Houston. Obviously, we got to see a little bit more and the efforts that you put in to really push the game and in the area and grow it around here. So thank you very much.
Doesn't happen without great guys like you who are willing to get harassed and bothered to come on radio shows and do TV interviews. So thank you very much for that, Brad. You get it. I know you get it. And I know you value all that. It's important. And I wish you the best of luck at Sporting Kansas City. And again, I would say to all the fans, go and read Brad's letter at HoustonDynamo.com. Brad, thank you very much. My best to you and your family.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right. He's Brad Davis, the one and only 6-time All-Star, you name it. He did it here in Houston, and he's now a member of Sporting Kansas City. Hard to say that. We'll take a break.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, as everybody knows, the Houston Dynamo now has a USL affiliate, the Rio Grande Valley Toros, and the Dynamo have made a great hire, a man that has worked a tremendous amount in youth development. You also might remember him as an assistant coach with the Colorado Rapids, head coach of Chivas USA. More importantly, was the head man for the United States Under-17 national team. He will head up the Toros. He is Wilmer Cabrera. He joins us now. Wilmer, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Glenn, it's a pleasure for me. I'm really excited to join the Houston Dynamo organization and obviously to be part of that winning team.
Yeah, now your experience is incredible. Not only as a player, you've represented Colombia almost 50 times. Your work with youth is unparalleled. I get the sense you have a real passion for working with young players.
Definitely. My passion is to teach. My passion is to enjoy sharing experiences. So for me, when I discovered that coaching is not just tell players what to do, it's teaching how to do it, and it's giving the best tools, and it's find different ways to make them understand how important this sport is for them, because at the end, it's a player's game. It's not a coach's game.
Wilmer, what's the biggest challenge with the American player right now and these young players that you're going to be with? Is it getting them to understand what being a professional is?
I would say, Glenn, we have three components. First component and very important component is you're going to deal with players, professional players, that for any reason the coach is not going to use them during the weekend or during the game. So they have to be able to come to the team, to the Toros team, and they need instead staying at home or staying practicing on the field without competition, they have to come down to compete. That is very important component because it's for a player that doesn't play during the weekend, it's going to lose possibilities in terms of game-related actions. So for me and for the team, for Houston Dynamo, having Toros where they can come down and play and have action, it's very important. That's the first component. The second component is we're going to have young players, drafted players from college, and possible candidates, and they need instead working over there with Houston because they're not going to be seen as much. They can come over here with Toros, and we can work with them, and they can have competition at the end of the weekend. They can work every day, and they're going to be seen more closely, and they're going to be more ready when the coaches with the staff for the first team, they're going to need him, or they may be paying attention. Hey, this kid is doing very well. This player is doing very well. This drafted player, is doing excellent. It's going to be able to perform easily and adapt easily to the first team. And the last component is, of course, develop young players, young talented players, development academy, where they want to jump into the first team, but they're still with a little bit of needs to enjoy and to learn about the professional environment. So those players, they need to learn, they need to adapt, and they're going to experience how it's to be a professional, because Toros is a professional team, but they need to adapt, where we're going to give them that possibility when they go to the first team, when they are called for any possibility, that adaptation, that transition is going to be easy, and for them, they're going to give them confidence, where it's going to be better for the players, and obviously at the end, Houston Dynamo first team will be beneficiated.
Wilmer, I would assume if this happens across the board, thinking big picture here with all Major League Soccer teams, this is going to improve the quality of play. I don't think there's any question, right?
Correct. Yes. What we're thinking is we need to improve the quality of the players. Why? Because they're going to be more prepared. They're going to have better competition, and they're going to have better mentality in order to make the first team. So, having said that, the possibilities for the players, it's huge. It's a professional league. It's something where they're going to be under pressure. They have to perform, and they have to be hungry, and each game is an evaluation. So that is itself, it's going to improve the quality of the players, and then it's going to improve the possibilities for them, and they're going to be more ready and better in all aspects.
He's Wilmer Cabrera, 48 years of age, from Cartagena, Colombia. He has been named the coach of the Rio Grande Valley Toros of the USL. This is a very big component of the Houston Dynamo as a club here, a place for injured players to come back, place for players to get games. And as Wilmer just beautifully laid out to us, a lot of different components to helping the first team be a great team for the Houston Dynamo. Wilmer, how much of this is about one day producing a number of players that are locals and from the Texas area that can then one day be in the starting lineup for the Houston Dynamo?
That would be fantastic, Glenn. That I would say this is any club's dream, just to have only players from the Texas, from the Dynamo area, from the club, coming from the youth divisions. But it's not easy. Definitely, it's not easy. But yes, it's a better opportunity for the players in Texas to be seen and to get better quality practices and filter in the best way, so they can get to the first team, get to a professional environment, and be successful with a professional environment. Because I have to say again, it is easy to play one professional game, but the key is not to play one professional game. The key is to play 100 professional games, 300 professional games, and that's how we need to prepare these players.
He's Wilmer Cabrera, again, a great hire for the Houston Dynamo, and as the former under-17 national coach, a real expert in working with young players. Last question before I let you go, Wilmer, and again, we thank you very much for coming on the program. Two things. The team is in the Rio Grande Valley. Does that make it challenging that you're not next to the first team here in Houston? And then how do you have a line of communication throughout the year, being a couple of hours away from the head coach, Owen Coyle?
Well, Glenn, I landed last night from the combine. I was with the whole staff over there in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. I was there, so I didn't have the need to be in the combine, in the draft, sorry. But I was the whole combine with them, and we interacted, we shared a lot of information, and this is going to let me understand what Owen, in this case, has as a head coach and the whole staff are looking for. I'm going to be also, during the preseason, I'm going to be with the Houston Dynamo Club. I'm going to be on the side. I'm going to be right there. So I get to know the players. They get to know me. And I'm going to continue the communication because, obviously, the channel of communication has to start with the head coach. And in this case, the key component for me to be part of the Houston Dynamo is Owen Coyle and, obviously, Chris Kennedy and Matt Jordan. They are trying to put this organization the best way possible, and I've been having communication with Owen the whole time. He knows me. He knows what I've been doing, and he was giving the okay. He gave the okay for me to be part of this organization. So I'm thankful, but also I have a big responsibility because now I have to produce.
Well, Wilmer, listen, thank you very much. I know you're going to do a great job down there in the Rio Grande Valley. Look forward to seeing you here in Houston when the Dynamo go into preseason, and we look forward to having you on the program again.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Anytime.
All right. He's Wilmer Cabrera, the new head coach of the Dynamo's Rio Grande Valley Toros, and more importantly, a big piece in the future here as the Dynamo really getting serious about player development. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we wrap it up tonight here with Kyle McCarthy. He is an editor at Fox Soccer. Just wrote a tremendous piece on why players in Major League Soccer are moving down to Liga MX based on financial considerations, structure, the MLS salary cap, and things like that. He joins us now. Kyle, thank you very much, and Happy New Year here in 2016.
Well, Happy New Year to you too, Glenn, and I'm glad to be here.
Now, look, it's always very interesting to me to see the relationship between Liga MX and Major League Soccer. There's some high-profile moves that have occurred with Omar Gonzalez heading across the border, Luis Gil. Speak a little bit about the relationships between the two leagues and why you think this is occurring a little bit more now.
Well, it's constantly evolving, the dynamic between MLS and Liga MX. But at the heart of it is the difference in the financial structures of the two leagues. MLS is really a salary cap league. The clubs have to operate within a certain budget, and that creates limitations. Whereas Liga MX clubs have greater resources, and sometimes they're able to exploit those loopholes in the MLS system to strengthen their own clubs. And it really creates an interesting tension between the two leagues because they're outwardly competitive with each other, particularly in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Now look, Real Salt Lake midfielder Luis Gil, who everybody was so high on, did not have a great season last year. Now at Querétaro. LA Galaxy, Omar Gonzalez, did not have a great season last year. I mean, I don't think he earned his money last year, and I don't know if you do. Without a doubt, these are two players that if you would look on their past performances of last season, you'd say, well, they've had a dip in form. Obviously have a tremendous amount of potential, still young. But in some ways, would you have retained these guys, especially Gonzalez, on the contract that he's on?
Yeah, but part of it, too, is those Liga MX clubs are searching for value. They're searching for guys they can bring in and strengthen squad. So if you have a guy like Luis Gil, who is available on a free transfer, a talented U.S. under-23 midfielder who's capable of contributing for them, then that's a deal that they're willing to make. It's not big money for them. So if they're able to come and get him, then that is a gamble they're willing to take. And Omar Gonzalez is a little bit different with Pachuca and the needs they have defensively going into the Clausura. But the theme still holds. Liga MX teams are looking for good value for their money, and they've often found it in MLS.
And in the long term, Gonzalez was tracked by Pachuca for quite some time, right? Gil's situation is different, obviously, on the free transfer. What do you think Major League Soccer, there's still the stigma of the Mexican League is better. Do you believe that?
It is. Mexican League is still better. And there's a substantial gap between MLS and Liga MX. I think that's shown in the CONCACAF Champions League every year. That being said, MLS continues to improve year after year, and they continue to find ways to inject resources into their clubs. And you look at what MLS did this offseason by boosting targeted allocation money. The ability for clubs to go out and get players who are making $500,000 to $1 million is going to make the league better in the long term. And those are the sorts of initiatives that the league and clubs have to take in order to close that gap.
Now, you mentioned some other players in the article, Rafael Baca, the Farfan brothers. Yeah, I don't know. Were those guys that successful in Major League Soccer, or are they that good of a bargain?
Well, I mean, for the Mexican clubs, you're talking about guys who are on MLS minimum salaries or, you know, something close to it. The Mexican clubs can give them what is, in their terms, peanuts, to come in and see maybe they get something out of them. And you look at Gabriel Farfán, he's at Chiapas, and he's managed to stick there for a little bit. And for a club like that, who's not one of the bigger Mexican sides, that's a good get for them, a squad player at relatively short money. So, again, it's a way of looking at the way the market develops and then trying to exploit opportunities that it creates.
He's Kyle McCarthy, editor at Fox Soccer. And, you know, one thing that I think is very evident is that, you know, Mexican League clubs look at MLS players very differently and might value them in a much different way when it comes to plugging them into playing in Liga MX as opposed to maybe how they're valued in MLS with its overall playing style.
Absolutely. And that is, like you said, a lot down to the style of play and where some of the players who are leaving MLS and heading to Liga MX fit into the overall dynamic. And it's interesting to see how that relationship has evolved, because Liga MX clubs didn't regard MLS players very highly, you know, maybe 5, 7, 10 years ago. But that's changed a little bit. The perceptions have changed as MLS has improved, and I think you've seen that with the increased interest of Liga MX clubs in bringing players to Mexico.
Kyle McCarthy joining us here, and as always, excellent writings. Let's talk a little bit about the CONCACAF Champions League, because still, to me, in a sport that is global, and when I see the World Club Championship or the World Club tournament that occurs that Barcelona just won, and every single year it's a Mexican club. And I know sometimes it's poo-pooed by people. It's not taken seriously, the CONCACAF Champions League, because of the challenges of it. But that dominance by Mexican clubs, doesn't that sort of play into the whole narrative of, hey, the Mexican League is better than Major League Soccer?
It certainly does. And that's what the reality of the situation is in international competition right now. Mexican clubs defeat American clubs. That's what it is. And in order for MLS to change their perception, they've got to go out and win. And they've done that from time to time, but it hasn't been consistent. It hasn't been, you know, year after year going out and finding ways to knock Mexican teams out of that tournament. And there are structural reasons for that, and there are explanations. But when it comes down to it, that does fuel the perception that Liga MX is much farther ahead than MLS at this point.
And don't you think sometimes too many excuses?
Excuse me?
Don't you think sometimes too many excuses why we're not, you know, we got to travel and play in Central America? I mean, so does everybody else.
Absolutely. You can't have excuses. At the end of the day, you either win or you lose. You either go through or you go home. And MLS teams haven't found a way to go through consistently enough. And yes, there are reasons for it, but that doesn't change the reality of the fact that when Liga MX teams meet MLS teams, the Liga MX teams get through more often than not.
Now, talk to me real quick about Juninho going to Tijuana. I mean, because obviously this plays into your piece a little bit. Here's a guy who won 3 MLS Cups for the LA Galaxy, one of the better central midfielders in all of Major League Soccer, a threat from long range. And all of a sudden, based on the situation in Los Angeles, the salary cap and all the issues that they're having out there, he's gone and he's at Tijuana.
It's a tough one, right? Because in an ideal world, the Galaxy would be able to keep Juninho, but they couldn't give him a more prominent role than he had. And they couldn't give him a whole lot more money than he had. So for a player of Juninho's stature who has accomplished a lot in MLS, it was time to look for the next challenge. And the fact that he could find that at Club Tijuana and get that pay rise and get a chance to play in Liga MX regularly, that's an enticing opportunity. And on the flip side, for the Galaxy, it gives them resources to help them out with the salary budget because they're able to sell him on for a transfer fee and generate some allocation money. And that's valuable for the Galaxy as well.
Yeah, and he's going to be playing down there under Miguel Herrera, or is playing down there under Miguel Herrera. Well, listen, Kyle, as always, love your writings. You can find him at foxsports.com. He is a Fox editor. He is Kyle McCarthy. Kyle, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Glenn.
Yeah, great piece there. I urge you to get over to foxsports.com and look for Kyle McCarthy's writings. That'll wrap it up here tonight. For all of you who listened in here tonight, thanks very much. Don't forget, it's Soccer Matters every Tuesday on ESPN 97.5. This week, it'll be this Friday. Good night, everyone.